So this is kind of a different guest for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and I'm really excited to have him on because I heard a story at Social Media Marketing World 2020 in San Diego this past March from a guy that we both know named Todd Austin from Fletch Digital based in Sydney, Australia. And he told me about this golf pro that was doing something that kind of blew my mind. And I want to turn it over to you, Christian. Can you tell us the story of your video visual journey from I want to qualify for the Australian Open, and here's how I'm going to do it? It's such a fascinating story. I want to hear it straight from the golfer's mouth.
Yeah, sure. Not a problem at all. So last year, I was going along. My life was good. I had 3 kids, lovely wife, teaching at top teaching facility in Sydney. I teach golf for a living. Everything was good. I just felt like something was missing, and I wasn't sure why. I went along for a long time, sort of in that place. So then I thought, well, I need to sort of challenge myself. I felt like I was being a little bit complacent with things. So everything was good, but it was something missing. I just wasn't sure what. So I thought what I'll do is I'll make some changes in my life. And obviously when you've been going along a certain way for a long time, it's sort of hard to know what to change or what to do or the reason why you're doing it. I just knew I had to do something different. So I wanted to get on an adventure of some description. I wasn't sure what. And I wanted to test myself to see whether I could commit to something every day for a long period of time, because past history has been that I eventually get where I want to get to, but I generally have days where I'm like, oh, well, whatever, don't worry about it today. And tomorrow's a good day, and a little bit sort of hit miss with my motivation daily, even though I do get there eventually. So I wanted to challenge myself to do something every day that was moving me closer towards a particular goal. So it was more of a physical and a mental challenge for me to sort of try and find maybe something that I was missing or looking for. And then when I had a look at what I do, I thought, well, I need something that's in the future. And I want to do something that's going to challenge me. I want to do something that I know. So I had a look, and the Australian Open was on, the qualifying was on December 2nd. And this was middle of the year, just before middle of the year. So I thought, well, why not try and qualify for the Australian Open? I gave golf away, trying to play for a living in 2002. I was struggling at the time with my coach and my golf. And when I gave it away, it was a relief to give it away. And then I focused on my coaching. When you give something away that's a relief to give away, I just decided then I wouldn't play. So pretty much just 17 years, I didn't really play. You know, I was coaching every day or 5 days a week anyway, and didn't play. Didn't play competitively, didn't actually enjoy playing. 2-3 kids, they're getting into golf. I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's set myself the challenge to try and qualify for the Australian Open, get back into my golf, find a love for it again. You know, I want to be able to play with my kids and set a good example and show them I love it, not just do it for the sake of it. So I set the goal to qualify for the Australian Open, which then when I plotted backwards was 191 days away. What I realized was that I wouldn't be committed every day unless I had some accountability. So the accountability I used was social media, and I felt like that was the only way that I would be accountable truly. Even though you should be accountable to yourself, I didn't feel like I was disciplined enough to commit to it daily if I didn't have someone that was actually keeping an eye on me. So I started day one of 191 and did a post saying, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to try and qualify for the Australian Open. I'm going to be accountable to you people who are following me, and started. So the golf was sort of secondary. It was more like a thought of how can I challenge myself? And obviously having given golf away 17 years ago and then really not playing competitively, I might have probably played 5 or 6 competitive rounds in 17 years and was happy not to, because I sort of struggled with golf trying to make a living from it. So like I said, to give it away was relieving. So to go back to it was never something that really intrigued me. So yeah, I just set on that path of finding a love for the game again, challenging myself to practice. I basically picked apart every part of my life and said, let's do it different or better. As I went through that 191 days and picked off boxes and just went, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to change my training program. I'm going to change my practice. I'm going to change the way I look at golf. I'm going to change the way I look at all these things, and just pick them off one by one. And yeah, did that over that sort of 191 day period and sort of exposed myself. I guess I was a bit fairly vulnerable in my posts, and I felt like I did that. So yeah, that's why, and that's what happened.
When I heard that story from Todd Austin at Social Media Marketing World, my mouth kind of dropped open, because your story, as you've just related, is a very common story for people of, let's just say, a certain age. They've been doing what they're doing for a long time. They started doing it at the beginning, maybe with a deep abiding love or whatever that activity was. But over time, you know, you acquire houses and kids and dogs and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the pressures of maintaining that maybe affect the joy you felt for the game, whatever game you are playing. In my case, it's being a creative director and a copywriter for advertising and marketing firms. For you, it's clearly golf, you know, but at the same time, as you go through your career, you know, maybe some doldrums set in, maybe a little bit of ennui or boredom, or just it's not what it was sets in. And all of a sudden you're in this, I don't know, pit of despond almost, where you got to keep doing it because you have those kids, dogs and homes and family and all that stuff. But maybe haven't felt the joy of it for a long time. And when I listen to your story, I just love it, because what I hear you saying about who you are, where you were in your life, was that I had a career, I was successful at it to a certain level, I've lost maybe some of the joy involved in it, and I knew I needed to take charge of my life and do something positive about it that forced me to break out of whatever mold I might have found myself stuck in. And you chose to go the biggest, baddest, most public route imaginable, which is doing something for 191 consecutive days on social media in front of people. And you forced them or co-opted them to being your coach, because coaches always make you do something you don't want to do. Well, yep. All your viewers, your followers become instant coaches saying, hey, you made a commitment to me, you better be showing up. And I applaud you for that. And I was so inspired by that. I'll tell you about my inspiration based on yours a little bit later, but I want to hear more about what you actually did or are doing on social media to keep yourself accountable to your coach followers.
Yeah, so just touching on something you raised, I was actually really happy in my job. Obviously, teaching golf, I come across a lot of people, and how I teach golf, I tend to get a bit more deeper than just this golf swing. So I was coming across a lot of people that were telling me exactly what you said, where they were doing a job they hated, and they were like, you know, well, you seem so lucky to teach golf for a living. And I was like, yeah, I do. I am, and I do feel lucky, and I love it. I didn't have any, like, you know, I'm a bit, you know, bored with my job, a bit whatever. Everything, as I was saying, everything in my life was really good.
And maybe I'm projecting a little too much, but still, you certainly, as you've just said, you dealt with people like me coming to you saying, oh man, I want to have some fun. I want to be better. I want to do something. And
Totally. And that's what I'm saying. I was talking to people who were telling me that, and I'm going, well, I really love my job. Like, why am I not? You know, it was more like something in myself wasn't right. And I wasn't sure. I was saying, well, it's not my job, but it's not my relationship, and it's not my family with my kids. And, you know, I sort of like, I'm not sure what it was. So when I was talking to people that were in the position you were just suggesting or explaining, I was like, well, I don't really have a reason to complain. That's not the reason. So then I started searching for the reason over some time. And that's when it came to, all right, well, I'm just going to make a change in a different direction. I'm an all in, like, all right, if I'm in, I'm in. If I'm not, I'm not. So that's why I did the 191 day adventure. And that's why I sort of just picked one thing at a time. So the first thing was, all right, let's start practicing again. Right? In this 191 days, I don't have to try and win the race in day one. So I started playing again, started practicing again. And it just gradually, as I went through, it started changing a range of aspects in my life, including, you know, training and fitness, including diet, including alcohol. Gradually, I removed any sugar drinks. Not that I was a huge drinker anyway of sugar drinks, but I just removed them. I removed chocolate, looked at relationships that I had and how I deal with them. And, you know, there was nothing as I went along that I didn't look at and say, well, can I do that better? And in essence, it was all for trying to find something within myself that I felt like was missing. So I was looking at my environment and people around me and the way I was handling situations and saying, well, you know, maybe if I look at those and do those differently and be sort of aware of my behavior and my actions and the way I respond, you know, maybe that thing I'm looking for can change. So that was there was a selfish motivation to the accountability, but of putting myself out there. And I was very vulnerable. I had people contact me saying, wow, let us know a fair bit about how you're feeling or what happened or your childhood or any of that stuff. Like, I just wrote from the heart at the end of the night. And a lot of the times I wrote it at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when I was pretty buggered after a full day of either working or training or practicing. Or so, you know, I was a bit, all right, let's just get this out before the end of the night because I've got to get up tomorrow and do it. And yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it, actually.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started. So what did you post and where did you post?
So I posted on Instagram and Facebook, were my two places. Facebook, I had a larger community, and Instagram sort of grew a little bit off the back of it. So I did both, and I did both because I had a bit of a different following from one to the other, but wanted to make sure that everyone that sort of had an interest in what I was doing, either as a person or a coach, knew what I was doing.
And so some of the things would be written posts. Did you ever do video? Did you ever do audio? Did you mix it up at all?
Yeah, I did. Everything was written. So a lot of the times, I haven't looked back over it actually, but probably, I don't know, 80% of the time it was a theme word. I'd pick a word like motivation or inspiration or regret or something. I'd pick a word and then I'd write about it and either add an image to it or a series of images showing what I did on the day, or do a video just to talk about how I was feeling or what I did on the day. So it was more, I guess, twofold. One, here's what I did today in the adventure towards my 191-day goal. And also here's some uncovering about me. So I didn't want it to be like, I wanted it to be authentic where someone wasn't looking and saying, well, this guy's a super dad and look what he does. And like he's doing this with his kids in the morning and then he's working and then he's training overnight. I didn't want it to be like that. I wanted them to see why I was doing it and the reasons behind why I did it. And exposing the fact that, when I was doing it, I was really struggling. Like I was pushing myself. I was up at 5:30 at the gym or at work. I've got kids. I'd drop them to school and pick them up on the days that I did it. My wife would do it on the other days. You know, I'd come home after 10, 11, 12 hours teaching and have dinner and put them to bed and then go to the gym or go to practice. And, often I was at the gym at 11 o'clock at night or the driving range at 10 o'clock at night and up at 5. And I did that, nonstop for 191 days. And I didn't really have a break, but it's really interesting as I was aligning more things towards the way I wanted them to be. I felt like I didn't need as much sleep and I felt like I had a little bit more energy.
Yeah.
So I wasn't actually tired through the process, which is quite strange.
Right, because your interest and your drive and your goals were aligned. So there wasn't anything taking you off task or off goal, right?
No, I felt like everything I was doing had a reason towards, when I think about it now, towards a reason that I didn't really know, which was trying to find something within myself that I wasn't sure what I was missing. But I knew I was doing something every day in multiple aspects of my life to find, or to be a chance to find what that was. And that was motivating.
And evidently, from what I understand, your followers joined you on that journey over time, so much so that there were some incredible interactions that I've heard of.
Yeah, so a lot of people messaged me privately that never actually posted on any of my, or never commented on any of my posts, and messaged me privately about the things I'd helped them with through what they saw me doing. Because I wrote about a word, most of the time it was a theme word. People were messaging me, connecting with, what I wrote about it, or whether it was my childhood or whether it was the struggles I had, being a, trying to be a father or whatever they were I wrote about. People would message, they were really connected with it. It's really helped me. And some people would comment openly, other people would just message privately. But I was also surprised at some of the people that did and how open they were and how they're people that I haven't seen for a long time that had actually been following what I'd done every day. And, I'd come across people in lessons who some of them I didn't even know they followed me would say, wow, I've just been following you. It's amazing what you're doing. It's really inspired me to do this and this and this. And often it was times of people I wouldn't expect. And, like you teach a lot of older people in golf and, some people that were like, I've realized that's a problem in my life too. And I've never really worried about changing it. I guess I should, it just made people stop and think and maybe realize like, this is the relationship I've got here, but I've never worried about changing it because it's been like that for so long, even though I know it's not right. I guess I wasn't telling people how to do anything in their life. I was just telling people what I was doing in mine. And in that process, they were realizing that they could maybe change their situation if they want to. And it could be the smallest thing like not eating chocolate or not drinking alcohol, or it could be as much as sitting down and having a conversation with someone important to you about the relationship you've got with them and how you feel like that isn't going the way you want it to and how you can change it.
Longtime listeners of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast will know that I am a lover of the word demonstration, especially when it relates to what I call nonfiction brands, personal brands such as your own, which is all about demonstrating who you are, what you do, how you do it, and a little bit of how you're different. And you, what you just described was like the perfect confluence or alignment of your brand with your goal and the way you approach things and the way you demonstrated it all via your daily activity on social media. And again, I want to let people know where they can follow you on Facebook. Just look up Christian Small and you'll see a banner image that says Momentum Golf. If you see a guy in a blue shirt with his arms crossed, Momentum Golf in the background, you'll know you got the right Christian Small. And do what I'm doing right now. I literally have the Facebook page up and I'm scrolling down and I'm looking at your posts and I'm seeing you demonstrate over and over and over again completely who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And by doing it this way, you're showing me how you're different. And you're allowing me to do what 90% of people on social media do, which is lurk. I can lurk and watch and never say a word.
Yeah.
Until maybe you do something that really affects me to the point where I don't want to put it in the main timeline. I'll direct message you and just say, I'm really inspired by what you're doing and I'm facing a similar problem. Why? Because you have been vulnerable as a personal brand and have demonstrated that you're on a personal adventure, as you say, and you're inviting people to go along with you, and you're open to engaging with people however they want to engage. If it's in the main timeline as a comment, if it's a direct message, you're there talking to people, you're demonstrating all the great things that make you a valuable golf pro, golf coach, life coach for these people. And you evidently have gotten some really great response.
Yeah, I have. And one of the things that stuck in my mind a few years ago now is something popped up on Facebook at the top feed years ago now. And it said, it was like a question. And it said, do you believe social media is improving the world? You know, it popped up out of nowhere. I was like, oh, hang on, that's a big one. And I thought about it. And I thought, so I started writing a response. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go there because I don't really know, but I'm pretty certain it's not. I feel like it's detrimental to the world, I feel like. And so when I did what I was doing, I was like, one of the reasons, it's a small reason, but one of the reasons why I did it on social media, apart from the self-accountability, was I really felt like I got sick and tired of looking at people who were pretending like things were a way that I knew they weren't. And I was seeing people who I knew projecting images of people, sorry, projecting images of themselves that wasn't true to actually who they were or how they were living. And I'm not talking about someone who's going through change, like that's fair enough, you're going through change, but people who were set in a way that they were doing things, but then openly projecting something different so that if you didn't know that person, you would say, oh, look how good that is, or how good they're going, or what they're doing. But behind the scene, you go, wow, that's not really them, or that's not the way they are. And I just feel like that's really detrimental to other people looking, because then you can think everybody is living a better life than you and that your life isn't so great. And you know, people get on a slippery slope from that point onwards, depending on if they are lurking, because they're looking at so many different people, and then next minute they know that their life is the worst life of everyone they know, but they don't really know what's going on. So I felt like authenticity and vulnerability, I just made sure that every post I really didn't filter. I didn't go, all right, I better not, like, you know, I just went, you know, obviously I was careful in some degree of making sure I wasn't doing any harm to anybody or anybody else, but from my own perspective, I made sure I was very open and vulnerable about how I felt and what I thought and what I did. And you know, it wasn't all roses, you know, as I went along, I posted some nights where I was really struggling, and I think that's what people who messaged me, and there was lots of them, were like, we just appreciate the fact that you're not telling us the way to do it, you're just showing us a way, and we can, like you said, we can jump in whenever we want when we connect to something, but we just really like watching. It's like a little adventure that they were really keen to see where it evolved. And like I said, from my perspective, it was something I needed to do to find what I felt like I was missing, and I wasn't sure how I was going to find the answer or the solution, but I just knew if I was doing things in a way that I knew was better, that I'd get closer to where I was trying to get to. And I think that's what we miss sometimes. If we stop and think, we actually know the right answer. And whatever that solution is the solution, but we often don't stop and think. And that's what I did. I had, even though I was very busy with my time, I sort of did a lot of reflecting and saying, well, is drinking alcohol, is that helping me get to my 191-day goal? And I was like, no. So I just stopped. And I would drink alcohol regularly, you know, nothing generally, like I wouldn't go out, but I'd have, you know, some drinks at home every night. And then I just stopped overnight because I felt like, oh, well, that's not helping me get to my goal. So I stopped and I just picked a list of things and just kept picking them off. Okay, that's not helping me get there. If I did more of this, this is helping me get there. And I was very honest and accountable to myself, and obviously then projected that onto social media in a vulnerable way, which that's what I feel like people connected with.
Well, your comment about social media maybe being a net negative, I share that view. But here's the thing. I view social media as a set of power tools, just like you might have in your garage or your workshop. The fact is, a table saw can take off all your fingers, or it can build you a home. It's a very powerful tool. The same thing with a chainsaw or a hammer or just about any tool. It can be used for good or ill. And the question is, how are you going to use it? So I share your concern, especially what you said about what I call in your Facebook, which is all about people saying, in your face, I'm at this cool place doing this cool thing, and my life is so much better than yours. In your face. And I don't subscribe to that at all. I absolutely hate that. But at the same time, I've seen in my Facebook feed and my other social media feeds, people who are documenting their health journeys or their challenges, you know, losing weight or preparing for a task that they don't think they can do, whether it's a marathon or, you know, something like what you're doing with trying to qualify for the Australian Open, things like that. And those things are truly inspirational and they are truly authentic. And here's the thing that people don't understand about authenticity and the power of being authentic. Look at the stuff that you watch on television, Netflix, or anything else. What do you watch? Mostly comedies, mostly dramas, mostly, you know, action films, whatever. The reality is most people watch things that engage them emotionally, that they feel, get some feeling from. And to deny the possibility of sharing your dramatic adventure to the people who follow you on social media is a lost opportunity, especially for someone like you, who has the potential to attract a great many people to your professional services because they see who you are, what you do, how you do it, and that you're a truly authentic person who's interested in helping people. And, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And your 191-day adventure is all about you helping yourself. And by doing that, you are certainly helping others.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Hanley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
You know, I had somebody close to me say, "Do you think by exposing or being as vulnerable as you are, you reckon that might turn some people off having golf lessons with you?" And I was like, my answer was, if it does, then they're not the right people to come to me, because if being honest and open and being accountable for where you're at doesn't suit you, when the person who you might come and see for your golf lessons is doing that themselves, then you're probably not willing to do that yourself when you come for a golf lesson. And, you know, golf's a challenging game that does play on a lot of the emotional side of you in your ups and downs in playing the game. So if you come and you're not open-minded, you're not vulnerable and willing to change, then you may not improve. So I felt like it may be more attractive to the people that were ready to improve. Maybe it did push a few people away, but maybe they weren't ready.
Let me tell you, I think of what you're doing as the first filter for any possible engagement for you as a golf coach for someone, because they see who you are, exactly how you are. And I'm going to guess, or I'm going to just ask you this question. Have women reacted well to you, what you're posting? Have you actually gained more female clients because they see that you're not a toxic masculine type A dude, but you're very focused and kind and sharing and giving?
Yeah, definitely. I've had, in golf clubs anywhere around the world, but I live in Sydney. You teach a few lady golfers from all over, but definitely I'm having more come saying, "Oh, this person who follows you on Instagram or social media, that I should come and see you." And yeah, part of that reason is they're getting an insight into me apart from the time they spend with me. You know, like a lot of the people generally, but the ladies might talk about it maybe more openly than some of the guys, would say, "Wow, I just didn't know that. Or I didn't know that about you." Or, "Geez, it's really great you're doing that. Such a great thing to know or to see someone doing it." And sure, it's helping people. And I have been amazed how many guys opened up and told me stuff. And it was quite interesting to think that, you know, in a lesson environment, whether that was someone I didn't know that well, just from giving a few lessons, or even someone I did know for a long time that we maybe hadn't had a discussion like it, how open they were. But I think because I was so open that it made them feel comfortable to talk about it. That was my purpose. I mean, well, my point was I want someone to be able to see what's happening and not seem like it's an arm's length view. It's like, wow, I'm watching it unfold right in front of me.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that in the second half episode that will air next week. But for now, we got to wrap up this episode because it's going a little bit long, but that's what happens when you have a great guest on, like Christian Small of Momentum Golf and the Bonnie Doon Golf Club in Sydney, Australia. You know, I really can't wait to dive more into this next week. But until then, I'd love to have our listeners be able to connect with you. You've already mentioned Facebook and Instagram as probably your number one and two channels. How can they connect with you via those channels?
Yeah, so I'm Christian Small at Momentum Golf on Facebook. I'm at Momentum Golf 52 on Instagram. And part of my adventure last year was to set a 2020 adventure, which is I started in January. Obviously, we've had some challenges in 2020, so it's been a really good timely start to that. And that is at thriving_lifestyle. So part of my objective last year was to create a lifestyle in that 191 days that was sustainable, that sort of had every aspect of my life moving the way I wanted, which was a continuation of what I did last year. So I started that, and that's at thriving_lifestyle. And that's sort of more of a personal view of my adventure, where last year I played out my adventure in my social media feed, which was also my golf coaching feed. So I put it all together. I separated those this year a little bit, just to sort of be very clear in the two different pathways that I wasn't inundating with golfers with my life adventure. But if they wanted to follow that, they could separately. So yeah, they're the two places. Also, my website is momentumgolf.com.au.
Great. We're going to talk more about all of this stuff in next week's episode. But for now, I got to say goodbye. I'm DP Knuten for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, which you're obviously listening to. And he is
Christian Small.
And we'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.